All right. Welcome to the National League Division Series preview of Dodger Dugout Dopes. I'm Willie.
I'm Rob.
This is like a Brady Bunch thing. I'm an S. No, I'm Chris.
I'm not Ringo, but I'm Jim.
We're here to let's start off by maybe doing a quick recap of the regular season. And just sort of see, get a check the temperature on where we're at. The Dodgers just concluded, they pretty much took care of business with the Cincinnati Reds in the wild card, two game aperitif taster there for the NLDS. But before we do that, let's take a quick survey of. Oh,
We
hold on. What's
have a
the fax,
fax.
dude? Dude,
Well,
stop. Okay.
hot off the
Chris,
fax machine.
give us the facts and just the facts.
Just the
Is that
fax.
thing still running?
It's still running. Dear Dopes, fuck all of you. Signed, Michael Conforto. There you
Great.
have
Our friend Michael.
it.
Yeah, he was great against the Giants this year. Yeah, that's about the only thing you could say he was great at.
Unfortunately, there were 28 other teams.
Exactly.
We
But
could
we're
do
past.
the whole hour on Conforto
Or
if you want.
as Jim so aptly calls him, Confort No.
Conforto, no. Yeah. Oh, another fax is coming
Oh boy. Burning up
in.
now. He's got family members and they keep receipts.
Oh, man.
Fortunately, the Confort No era in Dodger land is come to a close.
Mercifully over.
Yes.
Mercifully. Yes.
Yeah, fortunately, it was just a small sample size. So,
So before
about
we
400 at
start
bats or
crumbing on Conforto for the rest of the show, let's do just a quick recap of how we felt the season went. The Dodgers ended up with a 93 win season, which was I would say all of us would probably submit that it was considerably less wins than we had all projected. Given the absolute might with which they flexed their financial muscle over the offseason. But baseball baseballed and things happen, and we had some key injuries per usual, some underperformance from a couple of key stars for a good chunk of the season. Mookie Betts having had that weird bug, I think when they went overseas, and he lost like 20 pounds. I think that impacted his performance for a while till he kind of got going. Teoscar Hernandez, I think, had a, I would say, less than stellar
Is
regular
he the guy that has the hole in his glove?
Yeah, it's a big one.
Yeah.
The one he borrowed from Aaron Judge from last year. He's been using
Oh.
Judge's glove all year, I think.
Wow.
Thank you very much.
Oh,
We're getting more faxes coming I'm in
in.
a mood this morning, gentlemen. Sorry. So yeah,
Thank you
what do we
very
think
much.
about this, about the regular season?
Well, the beginning of our season, I think our last episode, well, we skipped over the bad parts of the season, just kind of went right to the postseason. Fortunately, we're here. It's easy to take for granted that we always got a dog in a race, and we scrapped it out this year. Probably no one expected the path of what it would take to get here. The beauty, and we talk about this every time, you got to play the 162. And I think when we all threw out in March our predictions for wins, one of us had kind of mid-90s, and it wasn't me.
Wasn't me. It might have been me.
One of you two was on that, and I was, the fact that we hit 93 is a pleasant surprise. And as we also always talk about, it's not, you don't win the regular season, it's what you got going into October. And when you look back over the year, look at Freddie, for example. He came out hot, then he was hurt and had probably 4 to 6 weeks where you just didn't even want to see him take a stroll, let alone a run any of the bases. And now he's turned out to be Freddie Freeman all along. We will get into the bullpen in implosion, but I think as we've all talked about here, you can't buy a team. You can't buy 100 wins.
Absolutely right. I mean, they went 8-0, and when they swept Detroit with Tarek Skubal on the mound, I mean, I think people were starting to think, this could be like one of the all-time great not only Dodger teams but baseball teams, and people were starting to get stars in their eyes about, 120 wins and all that stuff. But yeah, just like you said, stuff happens. Every team, the most elite teams, go through strife and go through rough patches, and certainly the injuries played a factor. But I think no team really stood out this year. If you look at the landscape of most of Major League Baseball, most teams out, the Brewers were pretty hot for a while. The Phillies obviously are a very very pretty complete team, but like I think Chris had said, maybe on one of our other conversations, that there's no team that really dominated this year, and like we all know, the postseason is a completely different season than the regular season.
And
Yeah, there were no teams hit 100 wins. First time in a number of years that that's happened. So there's a lot of kind of parity, I think, at the really high level. For me, the Dodgers, yeah, they got off to that incredible start. And then, there were lots of injuries, especially in the first half of the year. I think a couple things. The injuries to Max Muncy hurt the team, at least offensively, more than any other injuries did. I mean, maybe Mookie having a pretty poor first half, first two thirds, really. He didn't get going until mid-August, I think. That also hurt. But it seemed to me that this drove home the importance of Muncy, because when he was healthy and in there, he was very productive. He didn't go through those long slumps that we've seen him go through in recent years. I mean, he was in the lineup, he was producing, and really helped make the lineup formidable, all pretty much, well, at least until you got to Conforto. But he's really had some weird injuries this year, and they've been kind of cagey about what's going on with him right now. And he didn't look very good in the two wild card games against the Reds. So it kind of remains to be seen what he'll be capable of doing in the division series. But even beyond that, I think for me, the team never looked like it really gelled this year. Even when they seemed to have all the pieces together and on the field, they just never really seemed to gel the way they did last year, or even in the last 3 or 4 years. And I'm not sure what it is. Maybe there is a World Series hangover. There's something to that. It's psychological. I don't know, but they just never really seemed to be all playing on the same field. There were lots of mental lapses, lots of errors of kind of mental errors that just really seemed to, it actually lost them some games along the way. So I don't know. I didn't really see them come together as a team until the final 2, 3 weeks. And I do think that they're playing their best baseball as a team right now, which is really hope, raises hopes for what they can do in October here. But that's just my take.
What was the nickname or the phrase for Reggie Jackson? Was Reggie Jackson was the straw that stirs the drink,
Right.
and
And he
I
gave
feel that
himself
way. He gave
that.
himself. I feel that way about Mookie Betts, that as talented as the Dodgers are, that when Betts isn't hitting well and not playing well, the team really suffers. And he started to hit the last couple months. After he sounded like he gave up, and then once he gave up, he just like boom. And
Read
I
something
think I've
the
said
other
this
day.
before. Go
I was
ahead.
just going to say, I read something the other day where he had a conversation with JD Martinez, and that really, since that, who is retired, I guess now, but since that, he has taken off. So who knows?
I still think, I think I may have said this the last time we recorded, that there had to be more than just a virus for Mookie. I mean, he lost 20 pounds. He just wasn't himself for the first 4 months. Just not himself.
He probably also, I agree with you, Chris. I also think he probably, I know a lot of these players like to kind of, sort of convey that that nothing bothers them, that it's just baseball, that it's one game at a time, and all those cliches and stuff. But I think inheriting the role of shortstop full time for the first time, I think. I think that had to have impacted his offensive game. You know, I mean, to ask a 32-year-old player, you know, who was a Gold Glove right fielder, to expect him to all of a sudden, and you know, to his credit, succeed at shortstop, which is the hardest position on the diamond, I think, just sort of speaks to his talent, his perseverance. But you know, it's still an opportunity cost, and I think that he definitely, I think he the probably the weight of expectation weighed on him, and I think that affected his performance. And I think, you know, like Rob said, I think once he met with JD Martinez, and once he kind of like sort of, you know, rationalized it amongst him within himself that he was just going to like play and not worry about the numbers and not worry about, you know, his own lofty expectations. I think that's when he started to, you know, start to excel again at the plate.
Willie, I know we beat this to pieces, but whose idea was that? I mean, was that the team? Was that Mookie? You know.
I mean, look, my contention, as we may recall last year, was that the team kind of twisted itself into a pretzel last year to accommodate Gavin Lux's inflexibility. You know, he's proven to be a second baseman. You know, he was terrible at shortstop in his tryout or his shot with the Dodgers, and I think they realized, well, Lux is a he's a one-tool player. He's got a little bit of a stick. He's got a bat, but he's really like only a second baseman. So I think that they all kind of, again, they always talk about favoring, you know, positional optionality. That's Friedman speak. They just said, okay, and then Mookie, I think probably volunteered, said, all right, I'll give it a shot. You know, and I think that he has, you know, he has enormous pride in his own athletic abilities. And so I think he just took that project on himself. Obviously with the blessing of the team, but I think that had to have affected his performance. That is a really, really difficult position.
And let's give him credit. I mean, he graded out, I think, as one of the top defensive shortstops in at least the National League, if not all of
Absolutely.
baseball this year. So it's not he
His
did
talent.
save he saved a lot of runs for the Dodgers, even while he wasn't producing offensively. So it wasn't a complete loss, but yeah, I pretty much second what you guys are saying. Yeah.
And his athleticism serves him in that position like no other player, I think, that he could actually pull that off at age 32, to go from being a Gold Glove right fielder to being more than just above average shortstop. And I've not been a believer in this whole move from the get-go, but here we are, and I think he's earned it. He's proved it. And you know, the question is, I get back to what Willie was saying, is just how much does that take away from 100% Mookie on both sides of the ball?
And just to further, yeah, agreed, and also just to further corroborate what Chris was saying, I also think that the team's success is predicated on Mookie's success on the field. And as Mookie goes, so go the Dodgers. I firmly believe that's the case. And if he is operating on all cylinders, if he can, you know, like again, that whole thing about whenever they walk, whenever the opposing team walks Ohtani, who bats before him intentionally, you know, that sort of lights a fire under Mookie to sort of prove that they made a wrong decision, that the opposing team made a wrong decision, and he takes it personally. And you know, more often than not, he seems to come through in those situations. So if we're faced with that again, you know, the odds are looking pretty good that he'll succeed, and he'll have that kind of inner motivation.
One thing I love to see is the emotion that Mookie has been bringing on the field every time he gets on base right now. And, you know, Rob, you were talking about, you know, this team doesn't have the kind of spark and energy and chemistry that they've had in recent years until the last couple of weeks.
I
And you're
agree.
seeing it now. And when you see Mookie on the base paths, there is fire, there is joy, and he's given all that he has to give.
100%.
Yeah, I agree. It's looked like a different team in a lot of ways when I just watched them over the last week or so. So that's, I mean, a kind of good segue into what's coming up here with the Phillies. A lot of ways, I think these are the two best teams in the National League. Maybe the two best in baseball, frankly. The Brewers, I don't want to discredit what they did because they're a very interesting team. They're probably top to bottom the best pitching team in baseball, and their offense is sneakily good as well. But they don't hit for power, and I do think that's a weakness in the postseason. I think the ability to produce a lot of home runs in key spots is the key to success in October,
I
more so
completely
than the
agree.
contact small ball kind of stuff.
I completely agree, Rob. Also, I think it's sort of analogous to the Padres and Dodgers last year. I think that we all kind of felt that whoever won that series was gonna go on to prevail in the World Series. And I think you're right. I think these are the two most formidable teams, not just in the National League, but in all of baseball. And I also suspect that if the Dodgers can get past a very dangerous and very long and deep Philly lineup, if they can do that for this DS, I think they've got a good shot to go all the way. And how unlikely would we all, given what we've experienced this season, it'd be, a very unlikely and very satisfying victory after all the adversity that they've experienced. And
I
also,
think it was unlikely last year, given the starting pitching that
yes,
was
it was.
decimated.
It's two and a half. Yeah, we had two and a half starting pitchers. That's right, Chris.
I mean, we
And
would have killed to go into the postseason last year with the rotation we
no,
have
no.
now. I
Okay.
mean,
Now, before we take a deep dive into the NLDS and how we match up against the Phillies, and maybe who are the key players and who might be the surprises, can we all just take a brief moment not to mourn the Padres?
exactly. I mean, I don't know. Again, I'm an intangibles person, probably more than some of you here. And also being sort of psychologically oriented, I think there's something wrong in that clubhouse. I've been saying it for years. There's something, I think when you have a couple of like wannabe alphas, like Tatis and Machado, they couldn't win with Soto amongst them. I think that the Dodgers actually have alphas that lead, and I think the Padres, if I may say so, are pretenders to that throne. And again, they're always like celebrating the offseason or celebrating the trade deadline, and they trade all their their pitching pro or their minor league prospects. AJ Preller, the GM, always kind of like does a big dump of players, and everybody's like, oh, the Padres this year, they're for real. And every time they come up short, it can't just it, there has to be something intangible about it, at least from where I'm sitting.
I think Machado is extremely talented and a total head case, and
Totally, you're right.
he's never shown me or any of us to be a winner. He'll get his RBIs and his batting average and his home runs and all that. Good player, but
Right.
to lead the team, no.
And Tatis, who, looked to me like he was going to be one of the all-time greats just a few years ago, his production has really dropped the last couple of seasons. He's not a 40 home run, plus 300 hitter anymore. I don't know what he ended up with this year, but I felt like for the longest time he was stuck in the teens in terms of homers. So I mean, he just doesn't have the same lineup presence and fear factor that he did 2, 3 years ago. And I think that's a temporary.
Sorry.
Exactly. There's that too.
We've never done breaking news on this podcast, right? Because we do have some breaking news. We do have a new fax that came in, and it says, "Dear Dopes, go fuck yourselves." So that's very similar. And it's from AJ Preller. So there you go.
AJ, you're welcome on our show anytime.
Exactly.
The most overrated general manager in baseball. I am.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. I mean, that's the other thing, though, to sort of like piggyback on what Jim was saying earlier, to reiterate, you cannot buy a championship. And that holds true for the Mets, it holds true for the Padres, and it holds true for our Dodgers. I think in the offseason, everybody thought, okay, we signed Kirby Yates, we signed Tanner Scott. We'll get to the bullpen in a few seconds. But we signed, Roky Sasaki, who up until, last week was a complete question mark. We thought that by signing Conforto and by signing and re-signing Blake Treinen and re-signing Teoscar, that everything all of a sudden magically was going to like round into form, and they were going to become this unstoppable juggernaut during the regular season. And as we saw, that was not the case. So if anybody still thinks that you can buy a championship, you are fucking deluded. So
It's
on to
Amen.
lazy thinking. I agree.
It
It's
is lazy
lazy
thinking.
thinking.
It's lazy thinking. On to the red herring, the elephant in the room, the whatever other metaphor you want to make, the bullpen. The vaunted bullpen that started off, we got Kirby Yates, we signed Tanner Scott, the two big stoppers from the Padres. We thought, okay, we've got this amazing starting rotation now, and now we had a great bullpen last year. We've got an even better bullpen this year. And look what happened.
Hasn't quite worked out that way. The bullet for the Dodgers to move forward, the bullpen has to be adequate. They can't be awful like they were during the regular season. They have to be at least adequate. I
So
mean, when
let's
you're
talk
close.
October and the fact that you approach a bullpen completely differently. And which means, no Yates. I don't know when you bring in Treinen or Scott and what type of high leverage situation is all going to give us ulcers. Or, you basically try and work half your starting rotation in to try and give you some innings. Now, that said, that didn't work out too good for Sheehan the other day, which was surprising and disconcerting.
I think Sheehan looked like deer in the headlights. When you
I
saw him on
agree.
the mound,
I
you kind
agree.
of like, oh, maybe the moment got a little bit too big for him, in that particular role. He might be he I mean, he has really good stuff, and I think he could turn it around, and he might be a valuable piece. But I don't know that I'm putting him in, after like a 2 or 3 or 4 inning start from somebody. I don't know, or maybe that is the role, and maybe the late inning relief role for him was not what he was suited for. I don't know.
They're certainly not going to have him face the Phillies power hitters. That will
Right.
not happen. But if it's down lineup, I can see him with an inning. And I agree, Willie. I thought he was just, he didn't meet the moment. But, he's young. Got to give him another chance.
I'm intrigued to see how they decide to use Kershaw because, he's a guy that, he's not come into these roles. I mean, occasionally, sure, he's had a couple of dramatic playoff entries in the past, but that was a different Clayton Kershaw. That was a dominant Kershaw. Now we've got Kershaw at the very end of his career, who is still certainly capable of getting even the best hitters out, but. And he's got the experience, I don't think, to worry, to be overwhelmed by any particular moment. But in the past, he's obviously had his playoff difficulties, even when he had his best stuff. So that's just a really interesting topic to me, how he might end up being used.
Oh,
So
well,
let
you can bet that Friedman and his team are looking at how Kershaw has done against Harper and Schwarber,
hmm.
and if the matchups are right, if the numbers are right, and I don't know what the numbers are, but that's how they'll use them. They'll
Yeah,
use
and
them.
Trey
They'll
Turner's
push them
back
against.
too. Trey Turner's back. So it's, I mean, they are a scary team offensively and pitching wise too. But
Chris, to your point about how they might use him, I sort of the interesting questions to me. Let's say the matchups are there. You got a guy who, when he's on, of course he's Clayton Kershaw, can give you long innings. So do you let him go 2 or 3 innings and see if he can do that, in games 2 and 5, and give him a couple of days rest. Interesting that we go from game 1 on Saturday to game 3 on Monday, which I'm not complaining about. But how do you use Kersh? Do you use him to try and get some long shutdown innings and only use him once, maybe twice? Or do you try and get more of them in there if the matchups meet the moment?
I think they'll look at matchups. I really do. I think they're going to look at the numbers. That's what they do. They look at the numbers, and then keep their fingers crossed.
Here,
It
but
may also
here's the
depend on
thing, our
what other options are available. I mean, if they have to burn a couple of, top level guys in game one, and then they bring Kershaw in game two, he may have to go longer if there isn't if they can't bring somebody back. Although
that's my point.
that extra day does help a lot.
That's my point, Rob, and the unpredictability of this bullpen. If you only use a guy who's got a long arm situationally, you and burn yourself for the next game or later in the game. I did see Doc, kind of make some more gutty moves in the last couple of weeks of the season. I really hope that that carries into the NLDS, and he really plays for October and sort of throws just straight matchups and conventions out the window, and hopefully goes a bit more with his gut. And Kurt, we all want Kersh to have his moment. I don't think any of us expected necessarily it would come like this. And also, when you look at Kersh over the season, I don't know about you guys, but I thought it was just sort of a feel-good thing. Oh, he'll come in before, the All-Star break and get his 3 Ks and go out on top. Little did we know he was going to be probably the most steady guy in the rotation over the course of the whole season, most consistent guy who maybe wasn't Yamamoto.
11-2.
11 and
I
2.
mean, pitched deep
The
into
last.
games. He wasn't just out there for 5 innings. He was going 7 innings more often than not, it felt like.
I remember being at the at game one of the NLDS versus the Diamondbacks in 2023, and the game where I just was I watched him warm up, and I just thought he's gonna get lit. I just felt it in my bones, and like he wasn't even close to 90 miles an hour, from inning one when he got hammered. And I remember, distinctly remembering thinking to myself, I think he's done. I don't think he has anything left in the tank. I think this will sort of be like the unfortunate narrative that'll be told about Kershaw, that he can't win in the big games, that he's gassed, that he's over the hill. And I am so happy to have been proven wrong because, like you guys said, he didn't just, contribute sort of marginally or peripherally. He was an actual big contributing factor to the season. And the only other analog or comparison that I can think of was Sandy Koufax, to whom he's often been compared to, went out in 1966 winning 27 games. Now, of course, the game was different back then. But Kershaw going out this season with an 11-2 record is sort of Koufax-like in its dominance, and hopefully he can be a big contributing factor to the rotation and maybe to the bullpen, or more likely to the bullpen during these playoffs.
I want to step back for a minute and talk about just how the teams compare. I actually think, and I haven't checked this, but I think the Dodgers have slightly better numbers on offense.
They do.
I think the Dodgers are slightly better in starting pitching. It's the bullpen, though, where Dodgers are not up to par, and I'm not sure about defense. So
Yeah. I would say, Chris, that the defense is has been more concerning this year than in years previous. I
big
mean,
time, I agree.
there's just some mental lapses. I mean, God love we all love Teo, and he's starting to come around. His bat is starting to turn in the right direction. But man, in a playoff game, you can't be clanking a gimme, an easy pop fly,
Oh,
similar
my
again,
goodness.
to Judge last year in the World Series against us. You can't do that. And there are a few too many moments, too many defensive lapses that are like easy defensive lapses. When Páez actually in that horrible no-hitter gone to hell by Yamamoto, which might be the low point in this Dodger season, for him to not even make an attempt to make that catch when the Orioles hit that home run, to just sort of like watch it go by, at least make the attempt. Those are just these sort of like mental lapses that that sort of, keep me up at night, frankly.
Yeah, we've seen a lot more of those this year than in any recent year. And some of it is maybe, you can look at some of the same players. They've got a few more years under them now. They're not as don't have as much range as they did when they were younger. So the defense is sort of, almost organically getting a little bit worse at run prevention. But something like what we've seen from Teo this year is just sort of almost beyond belief. Now, I know he had lower body injuries early in the year, and that really reduced his mobility. But that thing we saw the other night in the wild card game was just nuts. I mean, that's an easy play. And I yeah, how do you go from somebody who is a capable, he was never an outstanding major league outfielder, but a capable one, to doing to plays like that is just beyond me.
Thank you very much. Now, that said, I want to go to a small moment in along this thread that happened, I think, in game two when there was a ball that just got by Kike in left field. And Pa has, backed him up, but Kike just stopped. That was troubling to me.
Agreed. Yeah, that's the thing. Like how are they going to maintain their focus defensively during these playoff games? And I don't think, I mean, I could be wrong, but I don't think we're going to be seeing 10 runs, 8 runs, like we did in, against the Reds. I don't think we're going to be seeing that against these Phillies. I just don't. I think they're just a bona fide, really excellent Major League Baseball team, and I think runs are going to be at a premium.
I would tend to think that too, Willie, but let's not forget the Dodgers and Phillies played each other only about 3 weeks ago in a regular season series at Dodger Stadium, and the Dodgers did pretty well against the Phillies' top three starters in that series.
Yeah,
The
that's true.
it was the bullpen that ended up costing two of those three games.
You were right about that, Rob. And maybe because they're getting, more length out of their starters this season, and they seem to be strategically, planning it that way, you're seeing the starters go longer. And I think that probably the plan is, if I'm thinking this correctly, that Roberts and company are going to just empty the tank with the starters and let them go 100 pitches plus
That'd be my
per
strategy,
game.
especially the
Definitely.
off days and this,
Definitely. With our bullpen?
elongated schedule.
Absolutely. With the state
Now,
of
are there
our.
any? I think the only two back-to-back game or games on back-to-back days in this series are the two in LA. Everything else, there's an off day in between.
Right. What do you guys think about them leaving Wroblewski off the roster? I think it's probably because of the matchup thing, right? They're going to just throw as many lefties as possible. Seems to be the thinking, but Wroblewski, I know he's not been as consistent as we had maybe seen earlier in the year, but he had a couple of really good games where he was pretty dominant in the late innings.
I agree, but I think he was one of the guys. If I could be wrong, I'd have to look, but I think he was one of the guys who was lit up by the Phillies in that series a few
Ah,
weeks ago
right.
when the Dodgers had a big lead, like a 5-6 nothing lead in the game, and then the Phillies came back against the bullpen. I think he was one of the culprits of that. So that may be the reason they left him off.
Fair enough.
And it is nice to have a fairly recent data set to work from when you're. It'd be one thing if we had played the Phillies only back in April. I mean, I think we did play them in April or May in LA, or not in LA, in Philly. No, it was on the first road trip.
Yes, it
It was,
was.
that's where they had their first loss of the season after the 8-0 start was in Philly.
That's right.
So yeah, those you can throw those games out the window, but the ones in LA just a few weeks ago, those are pretty, I think, relevant.
And
Right, so
and.
what I was going to say, what are your predictions? Who wins the series and how many games?
Well, before we go there, just to Willie's point, this is about some of the roster moves. We know that maybe Robles gets left off or an arm gets left off because you got Justin Dean in there, or we're carrying three catchers because maybe Opie can pinch hit. So we're an arm short, and that's somewhat cautiously self-inflicted. Whether or not that's going to come back to be a problem, we're about to find out.
Well, we haven't talked about Ohtani yet at all,
Or
and
Sasaki.
or Sasaki, right? Ohtani figures to be, it goes without saying, a huge factor in this series. I mean, we're going to get to see him pitch. He's going to start today, game one. But he's going to, pitch and maybe even, they'll use him out of the pen if necessary as the series progresses. But I mean, this is his opportunity, in my opinion. This is his opportunity to. He didn't have a great postseason last year, as we recall. He hit that 3-run home run against the Padres in game one of the NLDS, and then he had the shoulder injury, and that kind of hampered him throughout the rest of the playoffs, including the World Series. Remember when he was like holding onto his jersey while he was sliding? He's fully healthy this year, and he's gonna be pitching and hitting, and he had a dominant, regular season behind the plate. He hit with 55 home runs, set a
And a good
Dodger record.
and a good first playoff series against
Yeah,
the Reds.
and a productive. So he's kind of an X factor too. I think again he has something to prove, and I think that he wants to kind of show out during these playoffs that he's not just a regular season performer. He did great against the Reds. I think he's going to ratchet it up a notch against the Phillies. That's my hope and my prediction.
Well, and they're not going to baby him as a pitcher. They're going to let him go as long as he can go. There are no innings restrictions or anything like we've seen most of this year with him. And he also dominated the Phillies lineup when they saw each other a few weeks ago. So, I think he is he's primed to have, and this is his first ever postseason pitching performance.
Does the fact that we're going against an all lefty rotation factor into our outlook?
No, I think the Dodgers are the better team.
I do too. I mean, I think it might go 4 or 5 games. It'll probably go 4 games, and I think it could easily go 5 games. But I think the Dodgers have the slight edge. I do.
Yeah, I
And
said
mention the
Dodgers in four.
bar.
The
Okay.
fact that it's in that Philly has the home field advantage with those first two games, that could be big because that, as we know, Citizens Bank Park is just kind of a nightmare for an opposing team any time of the year, but especially in October.
I
There's
think we have to play game one as a sorry to cut you off, Rob. I think we have to play game one like it's an elimination game.
Yeah, I think so too. Get that one game in and
Absolutely.
then that really sets the tone. I mean, it doesn't always work out that way. There's certainly the Dodgers in the past have won game one of a division series and then lost a
Right.
series. I can remember that happening twice in recent years.
Yeah.
But when it's on the road, especially, I think that is a huge, huge plus, especially with one day off in between to sort of think about it, game one and dwell on it a bit. It's really important to get that first one. Before we kind of go into the predictions, I'm just curious what you guys think about how they'll use Sasaki because, as we've seen this year, I mean, the stuff is incredible. And he seems to have come back after having kind of a lost summer where they didn't really know what was going on with him and why he wasn't able to throw at his normal velocity. And then all of a sudden he comes back and he's throwing 102 miles an hour, right? So I'm a little sort of skeptical, but I want to believe, and some of those pitches were incredible that he threw against the Reds the other night. And I think they also wanted to get him into a postseason game because they know based on early in the year that he was a little bit, he could be in the big moment, he could get out of himself and get flustered on the mound. And he's a young kid. So to get him into a postseason game is huge. Of course, that was at home. This would be on the road, very different scenario. That could result in him kind of, losing the plot a little bit, even if the stuff is there. So I'm just curious. There's a lot of question marks in my mind about him and how he might pitch here. And I just don't, I'm wondering how they're going to try to use him. Will they use him as the closer?
I think they will.
I think the answer is, who would you rather give the ball to with a one-run lead late in the game? Is it going to be not so great Scott? Is it going to be Blake, or is it going to be Roky?
I'm going Team Roki. Me
It'll be
too.
Roky. They'll use Blake. They'll use Blake in the seventh or eighth inning. I don't think they're going to use Scott very much at all.
I agree. I agree. Not in a high leverage situation, certainly.
Right.
I mean, if they're up by like 7 or 8 runs or
Yeah.
running, and
Or
they're
they're
like,
losing
"Hey,
by seven or
seven,
they're
either
losing
eight,
by
or
seven
they're losing."
runs.
Right? Yeah. He could be the Brent Honeywell of this year where he just like wears it, where he just like wears a blowout game. But I think Sasaki has embraced the relief role. I think the starting role was the thing that got away from him earlier in the year. Coming back and whatever mechanical flaw that they seem to have fixed around his velocity. Certainly plays as a late inning reliever, and I think he's embraced it, and he doesn't seem to be overawed by the moment, unlike Sheehan was, I think, the other night.
I do think they might use Scott against Schwarber and Harper. I do, but
Scott, you said?
not a ninth inning matchup, but like a seventh inning matchup or something
Right.
like that. I
Yeah.
can see that,
Could be. Could be.
but they're not going to give him the ninth inning. God, they better not.
Oh man, yeah, no.
Right, I have, go ahead, but I have another, one more question because I got to wrap up here in about 5 minutes. I do want to get your predictions on other series as well.
But
Okay.
before we go there, did anyone pick up that a guy named Bueller got picked up on by the Phillies?
Yes.
And
Yeah.
he'll face the Dodgers. Yeah, you
Yeah,
can bet on
gonna
that.
be fun to watch him in that role. He's we know he's built for these big moments, so
Definitely. And he's pitched well.
He's
He's
good
pitched
on the
well
Phillies for
on the
doing that
Phillies.
because they saw they're not stupid. Dombrowski is as good as they come. So
Right about
not as good as Preller, but close. Yeah.
that.
All right. So, what are your predictions on the other series? Not who you want, who you think. Who you think will win?
Cubs Brewers. I mean, I want the Cubs to win. They're sort of, they've always been sort of like a team I've kind of followed as like a second favorite National League team. I just think the Brewers rotation is just probably too strong for them. So I'm gonna say the heart says the Cubs, but the facts are I think the Brewers are gonna win that one.
Yeah, I think this. I'm with you on that. I think the Cubs have slowed down offensively since the first half of the season when they were putting up runs in bunches. They're not the same offensive team. They have really good pitching as we saw against the Padres. But I think the Brewers in this case, I think the Brewers are just a little bit better.
Tim,
What those guys said. No.
I'll force that. Yes, Brewers.
We all pull for the Cubbies.
Yeah.
The Brewers are the better team. And that is a very Midwestern centric series right there.
90 miles apart. All
right. So
I
now.
just I just love the Brewers find a way to stay competitive.
Yeah.
Good for them.
Now that said, it is the postseason. They've had a week off, and you don't win the regular season, anything can happen. So.
Yeah.
That is true. All right, American League.
Yankees versus Blue Jays. I'm going Yankees. I'm going Yankees. I think that the Yankees have found a magic weapon in Schlittler. He was dominant
Oh,
against
yeah.
the Red Sox. My God.
That was crazy.
Yeah.
That was amazing. Yeah, I'm probably in the same place as Willie. The Blue Jays, I haven't seen a ton of their games this year. I know we played them earlier in the year, and Scherzer has done pretty well for them. I don't know. I think the Yankees probably in that series.
Not the best choice of words, but I like the Yankees. And I got, gun-toting Chapman is throwing like he's 23. Giraldo's.
Chapman for the Red Sox?
I'm sorry.
He
Yeah,
gone.
he
Yeah,
gone.
he gone.
He
He
gone. Right. Never mind. Next
gone.
at.
He had a tightrope the other in one of those games though. He gave up like three hits right off the bat and then got three strikeouts or three outs anyway. So yeah. But yeah, no, he's
I
not.
will say this when it comes to that series. So for every round, I look at which team do I hate and which team do I love. And obviously, as long as the Dodgers are in it, we're rooting for the Dodgers. I wanted the Padres to lose, and thankfully, I think we all wanted them to lose, and thankfully they did. I want the Yankees to lose, so I'm going to choose Toronto.
Okay, so you're going with the heart. All right.
You'll be the outlier. I think, the Yankees after last year had something to prove, despite them being the Yankees, and the fact that I thought Chapman was still with them shows you how much I care about the Yankees. But
What about Seattle, Detroit? We're...
You got to go with any team that has Scooble, available.
Agreed.
You got to go with them. I mean, I think the Mariners have the home field advantage. They've got the big bopper, but I don't know. I just feel like the Tigers, now that they've gotten past their, hopefully past their massive collapse of the second last couple months, and they, beat the team that they collapsed to in the wild card series, maybe they'll be playing a lot looser now. I don't know.
Yeah, Jack Flaherty pitched poorly for them for the most part during the regular season, and so far in the playoffs, he's looked pretty damn good.
He can
So,
be so inconsistent. He can look great one game and
so
awful the next
true.
game.
Oh God,
Oh my
Chris, it's
gosh.
so true. Yeah. So, I'm thinking, I think this has the markings of a Dodger Yankee reunion in my view.
I think so too.
I think what are you thinking?
I'm predicting Dodgers and Seattle.
Ah, all right.
We'll see. We'll see.
Let's go
Dark
series.
horse.
I'd be up for that. You could go to
Yeah.
one of the games or more than one of the games. It's not that far a drive. That's
I
right.
was in LA on Tuesday just for the day. I thought it was so tempting to pick up a ticket
Yeah.
for that game, but I didn't.
Well, so what are we predicting for the NLDS? I'm going to go Dodgers in five.
Dodgers in four.
Dodgers in five.
Jim, gonna go Dodgers in four.
Woohoo!
Jim, we're agreeing. I love
Nice.
that. Dodgers in
You
four.
know, a broken clock is always right twice a day.
So, which one of us is the broken clock?
I'm Ringo. No, you're Ringo.
But man, I mean, how amazing and unlikely would it be if the Dodgers actually repeated? I mean, this, as we've seen the whole drama of how the regular season unfolded, this would be in a weird way, the most special one, because it would be the most unlikely one.
And because it's Kershaw's last year and all of that, I think, yeah, I would almost mean more this year, I think.
And also, this is an aging group, guys. Let's also not forget, next year is going to be, I think, Freddie's last year. Mookie's getting into his, mid-30s. Otani's going to be like 31, 32. Muncy, like, I mean, this could be like if the Dodgers somehow win this World Series, you could see the gang breaking up. I could see, like remember when the original infield of the 70s and the with the Say, Garvey, Lopes, Russell, Dusty Baker, when they won in 81 against the Yankees, that was like, okay, time, Kershaw's gonna retire, Teo's in his mid-30s. I could easily see this team looking very differently last year, or they could also go, hey, let's run the gang out one last time. I don't know, but I'm just to say, it's an aging team, and I think the window for this particular group is starting to close.
Yeah, completely agree.
I do think Freddie is a hitting machine, and I think he's got 2 or 3 good years left. Hopefully Mookie does. Hopefully Ohtani does. Muncy, he's so hot and cold and now so injury prone. It wouldn't surprise me if Muncy was not on the roster next year. Would not surprise me.
Agreed.
All right, guys, I got to run.
All right, go Dodgers.
Go Dodgers.
Go.
We'll talk soon.
Go Dodgers, and I say it every time, I'll say it again, it's awfully darn hard to hit a baseball.
And a stop clock is right twice a day.
Right, see you guys
All right,
later.
may we pick this up for an NLCS episode?
Amen.
Let's plan
Amen.
to do that if
Yes,
the
not an
opportunity
end of
arises.
season episode. That doesn't
Yeah.
happen till November.
Not to be confused with an NCIS episode.
Oh. Let's quit while we're ahead,
I'm
guys.
not that old yet. See ya.
All right,
All
see you,
right, guys.
fellas.
See you later.
Out.
Bye.